I recognized the quiet, steady light in his eyes. He was not going to be pushed on this issue. Maybe Mort wasn't willing to go to the wall for his fellow human beings, but apparently, with the dead, it was different. I hadn't expected the little ectomancer to grow a backbone, even if it was only a partial one. I weighed my options. I could always try to lean harder on Mort, but I was pretty sure that it wouldn't do me much good. I could try contacting the ghosts of Chicagoland myself, but while I knew the basic theory of ectomancy, I had no practical experience with it. I had no time to waste floundering around like a clueless newbie in an area of magic totally outside my practical experience. "Mort," I said, "look, if you mean it, I'll respect that. I'll go right now." He frowned, his eyes wary. "But this isn't about wizard politics," I said. "Kemmler's disciples have already killed at least one person here in town, and they're going to kill more." He slumped a little in his chair and closed his eyes. "Bad things happen to people, Dresden. That's not my fault." "Please," I said. "Mort, I have a friend involved in this. If I don't deal with these assholes, she's going to get hurt." He didn't open his eyes or answer me. Damn it. I couldn't force him to help me. If he wasn't going to be moved, he wasn't going to be moved. "Thanks for nothing then, Mort," I told him. My voice sounded more tired than bitter. "Keep on looking out for number one." I rose, picked up my staff, and walked toward the door. I had it unlocked and half open when Mort said, "What's her name?" I paused and inhaled slowly. "It's Murphy," I said without turning around. "Karen Murphy." There was a long silence. "Oh," Mort said then. "You should have just said so. I'll ask them." I looked over my shoulder. The ectomancer stood up and walked over to a low bureau. He withdrew several articles and started laying them out on the table. I shut the door and locked it again, then went back to the ectomancer. Mort unfolded a paper street map of Chicago and laid it flat on the table. Then he set candles at each of its corners and lit them. Finally, he poured red ink from a little vial into a perfume atomizer. After watching him for a moment, I asked, "Why?"
"I knew her father," Mort said. "I know her father."
"She's a good person," I said.
"That's what I hear."
He closed his eyes for a moment and took a deep breath.
"Dresden, I need you to be quiet for a while. I can't afford any distraction."
"All right," I said.
"I'm going to ask them," Mort said. "You won't hear me, but they will. I'll spray the ink into the air over the map, and they'll bring it down wherever they find one of your footprints."
"You think it'll work?" I asked. He shrugged.
"Maybe, but I've never done this before."
He closed his eyes and added, "Shh." I sat waiting and tried not to fidget. Mort was completely still for several minutes, and then his lips started moving. No sound came from them, except for the quiet sighs of breathing when he inhaled. He broke out into a sudden and heavy sweat, his bald head gleaming in the candlelight. The air suddenly vibrated against my face, and flashes of cold raced over my body at random. A second later, I became acutely conscious of another presence in the room, then another, and a third. Seconds after that, though I could see or hear no one, I became certain that the room was packed with people, and an accompanying sense of claustrophobia made me long to get outside into fresh air. It was definitely magic, but different from any I had felt before. I fought the trapped, panicked sensation and remained seated, still and quiet. Mort nodded sharply, picked up the atomizer, and sprayed a mist of red ink into the air over the map. I held my breath and leaned closer. The mist drifted down over the map, but instead of settling into an even spread, the fine droplets began to swirl into miniature vortexes like tiny, bloody tornadoes sweeping over the map. Scarlet circles formed at the base of the mini tornadoes until the whirling cones spiraled down into vertical lines, then vanished. Mort let out a grunt and slumped forward in his chair, gasping for breath. I stood up and examined the street map by candlelight.
"Did it work?"
Mort rasped. "I think it did," I said. I put my finger beside one of the larger red circles. "This is the Forensic Institute. One of them created a zombie there earlier tonight." Mort sat up and leaned forward over the map, his eyes glazed with fatigue. He pointed at another bloody dot.
"That one? It's the Field Museum."
I traced my finger to another one.
"This one is in a pretty tough neighborhood. I think it's an apartment building."
I moved on to the next.
"A cemetery, and what the hell, at O'Hare?"
Mort shook his head.
"The ink's darker than the others. I think that means it's beneath the airport, in Undertown."
"Uh-huh," I said. "That makes sense. Two more, an alley down by Burnham Park and a sidewalk on Wacker."
"Six,"
Mort said.
"Six,"
I agreed. Six necromancers, like Gravain and Cowell. And only one of me. Hell's bells.